Dear friends, this 10th chapter that we have been studying in this weekly analysis or following of Bhagavad Gita has this very important special feature that the Lord is to be felt, and we have to use some important techniques to feel that. Techniques are important because by using proper techniques, the things which otherwise appear to be very difficult to achieve are done easily, get achieved much faster and with less trouble. So, the problem, as we have seen earlier, is to have the mind going towards God. That is what we want, how to take the mind towards God. We do not want it to run towards the world, but although we don't want the mind to go towards world, it goes to various names and forms, sometimes through attraction, sometimes through repulsion. Repulsion also is mind going there, and not that only the mind goes to the things that we like. Mind also goes, and sometimes in a bigger way, to things which we absolutely hate. And because of that hatred, the mind goes there. As something that we have, or some person that we have enmity towards, the mind will go to that person through enmity. Those things which we love and like, the mind will go towards them through liking. But the common factor is that although we theoretically know that God is the source of all, God is the reality of all, still the mind does not automatically go to the reality that is God, but to the changing names and forms of so many different things, and then how to bring about a change into it. So Arjuna had asked the question, that please tell me that you have explained it to me and I believe every word of it, that you are the truth, you are the all-pervading existence, and you are the source of existence, knowledge and bliss, Satchidananda. I believe all that. And yet, the mind goes in different things. So, please tell me, in what different ways should I meditate on you? The mind goes naturally, normally to big things. And good or bad, the mind goes to big things. Like even amongst the thieves, it will go to somebody like Al Capone, or no, not the ordinary street, these pickpockets or like that, but somebody who has a big name. Also we see mind going towards famous people in different fields, great musicians, the great sports persons, people or those things which get appreciated because they are very big, like the African safari. People hear about that. Not that we don't have the animal parks here around, but they are not well known, so we do not talk about them much. But yes, African safari, we have many people like to talk about it, go there. It is similarly, the mind goes to many, many different places just because they are talked about, they are great, they are extraordinary. Extraordinary in various different ways. So, Lord is telling that wherever you see such extraordinary greatness, know that that greatness ensues not from that particular thing, but because my power is playing in it. Because my power is getting expressed there, know that I am the cause of the greatness there. And know, therefore, instead of the mind going to that particular thing, the mind will go to God. Of course, this is again a matter of practice, not that it will happen automatically. Providing techniques makes the things easier, but that does not mean that it will happen automatically. One still has to apply the technique. The technique is given, but if we don't apply the technique, it will not work for us. Like if you use pulleys, then lifting certain things will become easy. Because to lift like that is difficult, but then you bring the principle of lever in force, put a pulley and pull the things down, and that they are from the other end, the other thing gets lifted up. Now it is a technique that will make the matters easier for us. But if just by having the pulley and looking at it will not work, you have to anyway apply it. So, although in the 10th chapter the beautiful technique has been provided, yet that technique has to be applied. Then the simplicity of it will work in our lives. So, Lord therefore tells that, look, I am really, you have asked me that how many ways I can be thought about. Really, there is no particular limitation to that. Nastyanto vistarasya me, that there is no end to my the special manifestations. Everything is my manifestation. Everything that you see come across is God manifested in that form. And Sri Ramakrishna or great sages of that level do see everything as God in that form. That is the difference between their perception and the perception of a common person. That a common person sees only the names and forms, but is unaware of the true content of it. Like the children, they feel that the animal crackers, the different forms, they are real as they are, and consider that an elephant will be different from a rabbit. And the grown-up people know that although they look different, their content is same. When they you eat them, it is same. And the price of that will remain the same. Whether you buy a rabbit or whether you buy an elephant, it is same thing. So therefore, for grown-ups, they also see the same thing, but what is understood is different. So a saintly person will look at all these different forms, but will know that it is God alone who has assumed all these forms. So now the question that is here is that although the mind goes to some special forms, yet It is not that God is only in that special form. So, when Lord begins telling his manifestations, the first thing he told is that, look Arjuna, I am, O Gudakesha, the Self residing in the minds of all creatures. I am the beginning, the middle, and also the end of beings. This is the 20th verse. We had discussed that in the last class. But this 20th verse is to be really remembered while reading this chapter. That the most obvious manifestation of Lord, right with us, always with us, which we can never get rid of, is I. And we keep on thinking everything in terms of this I. I look at it like this. In every perception, there is this perceiver I included. And that I is what Lord is telling, is really my manifestation. It is I, Lord, is manifesting in the form of this I. So that is a universal and most clear, obvious, easily perceivable manifestation of Lord. I. And this is not a perception that is extraneous, means it is not that given by somebody else. It is an automatic something. In every person it is there. The world is one thing, but I, a very special feature, very special being, I is the core of the whole existence that we see around. Whatever is being seen, acted upon, I is the center of it. So Lord says, I am that Aham Atma. I am the Self of all. Wherever you see that I am, it is Lord. And thus, I am all-pervading. We think that the Self here is different from the Self there. But that is not really true. The bodies are different, they are shaped differently. But yet, it is the same I in all of them. Like you can put the water from the faucet in different glasses. The glasses may have different shapes, different colors, different sizes. The glasses differ, not the water within. Similarly, in all the different beings, the Self remains the same. And so, Lord says, I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of everything. So that is the important statement that we have to remember while reading all the different manifestations, glorious manifestations, big manifestations. People talk about it. People, their minds, automatically they go towards those things. You cannot prevent that from happening. So, the major things have been told here. Now, most of these things do not really have a present contextual importance, because many of those things were very famous at that time, at the time of Arjuna, and in that place. These things are not known to many people now. In fact, even those who study the old scriptures, they are quite well versed in that. Even many of them find that why this particular reference is made, because that is not famous anymore. Many authors which at one point of time made a big name, after a few hundred years, nobody remembers their names. Some authors which are very famous in some part of the country or some part of the earth are not known in other places. Imagine, you know, just to give you an idea, some author who might have made a big name in Swahili literature. How many English-speaking people will have the occasion to know about that person? Very few, if at all. So, some certain things that which are given here really do not make much sense now. But let me read a few of those things just to get an idea. The 21st verse says that Adityanam Aham Vishnu Jyotisham Raviram Shuman Marichir Marutamasmi Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. Of the Adityas I am Vishnu, of luminaries I am the radiant sun, of the Marutas I am Marichi, and amongst constellations I am the moon. So now most of these things we do not get the right idea about it, but they are the famous things at that time in that particular context, which the people would be discussing, their minds would be going in that direction. So, therefore, they are mentioned here. Then there are other things like Vedanam, Samavedosmi, Devanam, Asmi Vasavah, Indriyanam, Manaschasmi, Bhutanam, Asmi Chetana. Here two things are we can see their importance, that let me read the translation. Of the Vedas I am the Sama Veda, of the gods I am Indra, of the senses I am the mind, and in beings I am consciousness. Amongst Vedas, Lord says I am Sama Veda. Usually we see the Rig Veda and Yajur Veda, they are more famous. Many Upanishads are in them, and usually for the chanting purposes, people study normally Rig Veda and Yajur Veda. Sama Veda is not that famous. In fact, in some places like Manusmriti, there is some criticism of Samaveda too. But why then Lord says that I am Samaveda amongst Vedas? Different ideas are given. Lokmanya Tilak in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita has given one reason, possible reason for that Bhagavad Gita is a devotional text. And the devotees, you know, they like to sing devotional songs and bhajans and all that. They like to express their devotion through singing. And Sama Veda is where you, amongst all other Vedas, there is the idea of music very much more manifest. Samaveda singing, traditionally Samaveda singing requires all the seven notes. The other Vedas, their chanting requires only three notes. Samaveda singing requires all the seven notes. And so Samaveda is really music, singing. And so that is probably the reason that Lord has said Vedanam Sama Vedosmi. So, or there may be other reason that is given by some commentators, that Atharva Veda, the other fourth Veda, was not that popular at that time. classified amongst Vedas those days, and therefore it is considered. In fact, Vedas are considered only three at that time. In Bhagavad Gita, you hear Trayvidya, three Vedas. Only Rig, Sam, and Rig, Yaju, and Sam, these three Vedas, and Samaveda was the most recent one. And the recent things get instant popularity and fame. So, Samaveda probably was more popular at that time. So, Samaveda is mentioned. Whatever it may be, we can say in the same, had Lord been at the present time, Lord would have said that phonanam iPhoneosmi, amongst phones I am the iPhone. Because it is quite famous. People now it is reduced, but at one time there used to be long line to get the iPhone. So, it is amongst the telephones, I am iPhone. So, it is like that. Whatever is well known and famous. So, but another important thing that he has mentioned here, Indriyanam Manaschasmi, amongst all the organs, I am the mind. Because mind makes all the organs synchronize. And therefore, mind is the chief amongst them. So, vision and the hand movements. You see something at a distance, and then your hands exactly go at that distance to pick it up. It doesn't overshoot or fall behind. Why? Because there is a coordinator of all the different sense perceptions. They are well coordinated, joined together and synchronized by mind. So therefore mind is prominent amongst them. So Lord says, amongst these organs, I am the mind. Then another great idea, and that is you find it in the Upanishadic, in general, all Vedantic literature, everywhere, Bhutanam Asmi Chetana, I am the, and in beings, I am the consciousness. Everything is pulsating with consciousness. Vedanta does not accept that things can be divided into living and non-living. Everything is really alive. There is consciousness in everything. Everything is conscious. And what is consciousness in everything? Lord says, I am the consciousness in everything. See, where lies our sense that I am alive? What is exactly alive in us? If you try to analyze, if you try to go deeper, you will see everything is really matter. Everything is matter. Where is life there? You will not be able to show a particular thing that this is life. Everything is just pieces of matter. And then if this piece of matter somehow you think is alive, why not this piece of matter or this piece of matter? What is the special feature that makes it alive? It is very difficult to say that what keeps the things alive. Where is the source of life? Lot of work has been done on this in the field of physical science also, to exactly find the locus of life. What makes us alive? Can you consider computers to be alive? Well, yes and no. What is depends on how you look at it. will you be able to consider the plants alive? Some time back, they used to consider plants to be not having life. Jagdish Chandra Basu, a great scientist from India, he was the first to demonstrate that the plants have life. And he is generally known for that, that he demonstrated that plants have life. But it is not really there that his demonstration of life stops. He had actually demonstrated that even rocks have life. The metal sheets, they have life. In fact, the concluding statement of his essay on this is that you can really have no dividing line between living and non-living. Everything is living. And what is the source of life? Lord says, I am present in everything as the life of it. It is the life or the consciousness. I am the consciousness in everything. You cannot catch consciousness. Everything has consciousness, but whenever you try to catch it, you touch matter. Why so? Because although you see consciousness, it is like sun getting reflected in, say, a pot of water. Now you see sun there, but if I ask Teresa, please take out that sun and give me, and if she tries to put hand in water, she can try for eternity. Will she be able to get sun in her hands? And she will only touch water, not the sun. And yet the sun will be seen there. It is there. And yet you cannot really pinpoint where exactly it is. So we see that there is life in me. There is consciousness in me. Where exactly it is, and dissect every part of the body, you will end up not finding it. Just as you cannot find that sun exactly where it is in the water. So, Lord says, I am that consciousness in every being. So, then he says, gives some other examples also. We don't have to really go through all these verses because most of those we do not really have the context, and it is not really necessary also. The idea is to understand that wherever you see something great, this basketball player is wonderful, great, oh, nobody like him. Oh, then think that it is greatness of God manifesting through that. God is great there. This person is the greatest scientist. If God has to give that, he could have said that among scientists, I am Einstein. So it is the greatness of Einstein is... God is manifesting there. The greatness belongs to God, not to any person as such. So think of God. Whenever mind goes to something great, that here is the greatest politician, the mind goes to that. You know, what the president is doing, the mind goes to that. Think that it is God's glory and not somebody's. So, let the mind be tuned to God. This exercise is to be carried on. What will be the result of it? The result, the mind continuously running after so many things and getting disturbed. And getting really... completely unconcentrated state, that mind could be then brought to focus on God. So, and thus you will be having the God awareness built up in you. This is a process. Through practice, one gets gradual perfection in it. It is comparatively easier to do it than just to think of God in some abstract way. So, you can think of God in so many different ways. So, Giramasmi Ekamaksharam, in the 25th verse, there is a very beautiful idea that in the speech, I am the Ekaksharam, means the one special syllable, that it is the 25th verse, I am the monosyllable, Om. And that Om combines, actually the tomorrow's retreat is on that topic, the Mandukya Upanishad, and dwells on this greatness of Om. So, Om, all language, all words, all sounds are condensed symbolically in Om. And therefore, you can see that therefore all words, all language, all expressions are condensed in Om. And now go one more step. It is still more symbolical, but one can do that connection. Every thing in the world, therefore, is also contained in this sound Om, because a thing is represented by the name of that thing. The word and the thing, they are connected. Think of a person's name, and that person starts, you know, making rounds in your mind. In that sense, that the thing is same as its name. It is the form and the name. So the name, in fact, is something that gives an entityship to that. We have seen this idea before. Just let us remind, you know, that a thing is really condensed in its name. That name really is the permanent aspect of it. The example that we many times discuss, say Red Sox. What is Red Sox? If you look at what a particular, is it a particular thing that you can pinpoint as Red Sox? The players keep on changing. Whosoever gives them more money, they go to that club. It is players change. The coach, well, coach also changes. The coach gets, in fact, the stick first. If the club loses, team loses, then the coach first is to go. So, the coach again is not constant. Do the owners remain constant? They also change, the club gets sold and so forth. So, owners also are not constant. Then what is Red Sox? It is a big entity. You cannot say that Red Sox doesn't exist. It is especially in this region, as they so thousands and thousands of fans of Red Sox. So Red Sox is a real thing for them. But where lies the reality? Only in the name, friends. Nothing else, just name. What else is there? Say Yogatmananda, this name. What is there? The particles keep on changing. A little while ago, I had tea and snacks. Those particles were not here before. Now they got in. Are the particular particles Yogatmananda? No. What is then? What is Yogatmananda? If you look at it, nothing but name. So everything is really contained in its name. This is really a topic worth contemplating on, meditating on. everything is really in its name, and all names are in Om, and therefore all things are really contained in Om, and thus Om is everything. So Lord says, therefore Om. In Bhagavad Gita, again and again this reference to Om will come, that Om, therefore Lord says, amongst all the syllables, all different alphabets, I am the Om. And then he will also say, I am the first syllable, that just to say that it is the beginning, I am the beginning of everything. Then amongst various sacrifices, he says in the same 25th verse, Yajnanam Japayajnosme. Amongst the sacrifices, I am the sacrifice of repeating the mantra. We all are told by our spiritual teachers, repeat the mantra. That is the great sacrifice. Keep on repeating the mantra. Because that is amongst, there are various ways of doing worships and sacrifices, but the best amongst them is repeating the mantra. Because this mantra is all the spiritual practices really condensed in this mantra given by the teacher. Through mantra, it is a science in itself. It is really a great, beautiful science to study that how it happens. But as one experiences these things through a long, dedicated practice, one can see the manifestation of God, the power of the teacher, power of the great sages is transmitted through that mantra. But it is transmitted only as a seed. The cultivation is the repetition of that mantra. That proper repetition, like if you are given the seed, this is, I am giving you, O Sam, I am giving you this huge banyan tree, and I will be giving him, say, a tiny seed of it. Now, is the banyan tree, did I give him banyan tree? Yes and no. Certainly, I have not given him the huge banyan tree, but I have given him that banyan tree in the seed form. If, when does he get the banyan tree? It depends entirely on cultivation. The more he cultivates, it starts growing. If he takes it and keeps it in his pocket and does nothing with it, it remains only as a seed, not as a tree. The potential is there, but japa yajna, the japam, therefore is the way to make that seed sprout, grow, become tree. The God manifests in our life through that japa, the repetition of the mantra. So Lord says, I am amongst all the different sacrifices, I am the japa yajna, the sacrifice called repetition of the name. Then, well, there are many these. Prahladaschasmi daityanam. In the 30th verse, there are two very beautiful ideas, that of demons I am Prahlada, of reckoners I am time. It is a very beautiful idea, very profound. Amongst the demons I am Prahlada, Prahlada, although was born amongst the clan of demons, he was the greatest amongst the devotees. The example of an ideal devotee, Prahlada, how he was tremendously dedicated to God, and that too, not just emotional, just longing for God, but with the knowledge that God alone is the reality. When I was reading the story of Prahlada in Bhagavatam, what really struck me was Prahlada's insistence that all the practices of demons, they are wrong because they are based on this idea of division between I and the world, which is an erroneous idea. Really, God alone is everything. There is this division, I and the world, is erroneous. And therefore, I don't like it, I don't want it. And therefore, the mind of Prahlada used to go to the reality of all. It is the knowledge. Our mind goes to things because our understanding that they are real. The moment we see that they are, those things are not real, the mind will cease to go there. Because our perception that this candy is real, the mind will go there. But if I should touch it and find that, oh, it was just for show, it is not real, then the mind will not go there to eat it. It is, I see that it is unreal. It is in that St. Louis, there is that arch. And then there is a robo welcoming you. No, nice, just looks like a nice, well-dressed person standing there welcoming you. And as I walked, I saw him, that robo, and said, "Hey, hi," and then realized, well, not real person as such. So it is, then when I was coming back, I still did, "Hey, hello," but now I knew that it is, it's not going to respond me like that. So it is, when you see that something is not real, the mind will not go to that. It is the world we feel as real, valuable, worth running after, and so we run after it. The moment we see that it is not real, the mind will not run after it anymore. So, whatever is real in our awareness, the mind runs towards that. When the God becomes real in our awareness, the mind will run to God. So, and the next thing that he has mentioned here is that kalak kalayatam aham, of reckoners, I am time. A very profound statement. That in time, everything is happening here, and we fix, everything is decided. When did it happen? Time. Did it happen yesterday, day before yesterday, or about future also? Is it going to be tomorrow? The retreat will be tomorrow. So, we fix a date, and then that is reckoning of it. The events get reckoned by this idea of time. So what is the reckoning that you have the timetable? It is sometimes therefore termed in the time scale as ready reckoner. It is that time, you write the time, this happened on such and such date, such and such time. It is a recognizer. That time is a big reckoner. So everything, when you put a time tag on it, then it becomes easier more clear to us that this happened on such and such and such date. Therefore, people study history. So that when did it happen? That is very important for us. So historically, we look at things in the on the timeline. So whole life of ours, we are not usually aware of it. Because it is taken for granted, those things which we take for granted, we do not become explicitly aware of such things. But see how deep the time has got into our psyche. Everything is happening in time. Even in dream, we have a dream time and space. Things happen in dream also in time. Although that time scale and is different from the waking state time scale, but then there is the time there as well. So this is all time, and God says that I am time. Things happen in really in time means they happen really in me. They are happening in time. So Lord says I am the time. So there are many such things. The 32nd verse again brings two important points that it says, of the creations I am the beginning, the end, as also the middle, O Arjuna. Among sciences I am metaphysics, and I am the constructive reasoning of the controversialists. It is, these are important things. Lord says that everything rises, has a beginning. We see that there is nothing in this world which has no beginning. We are always looking at the beginning. When did this world begin? Then we go back and back and back. And then scientists, they come to something. Big Bang or whatever. So, this is when things happen. There is a beginning. The idea that there is always a beginning to everything that we see. The middle, it is the growth. And everything is going to end, like the certain theories of physics, they suggest that the world will be all dissolved in singularity. It came out of nothingness and will dissolve in nothingness. It was that singularity or whatever at nothingness. It blew up into this world and it will again merge into that. So Lord says, I am the beginning, middle and end of everything. So it is when we see those things happening, think that yes, it is God that is showing all these manifestations. And Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Amongst all the different branches of learning, we learn, you know, so many different things. Some like to learn mathematics, some like to learn, say, chemistry, some like to study deep engineering, there is some like to be economist, some like music, some like dance, some like, so many. Medicine, millions of different branches of studies, knowledge. But there is this knowledge of who am I, that is the central to all of these. A very important idea. Other knowledges, they are matters of choice. If I want to study it, I will go. If I don't need to study it, I will not go. But who am I? To find out the real nature, who am I? that is not an option. That is not that whether I should do it or I shouldn't do it. Today or tomorrow, one has to do it. There is, you cannot get away from it. Because it is concern of everybody. I am. So much of, we are so conscious about I. Once somebody pointed out, when you give group photo to be watched by all those who are in that photograph, everybody invariably will first try to see where I am in that photo and how I look. It is quite natural because the whole world is really for my everybody's, this perception is centered around this I. And so while it may be important to study world in different phases, the more important and unavoidable study is the study of the self, and therefore that is the science of all sciences, the learning of all learnings. And then the last thing he said is in this verse is about the different types of arguments and controversies and debates they arise. Amongst them, I am the vada, means the debate that reaches a conclusion to which everybody agrees. That kind of conversation where the differences get resolved and one comes to, all come to a conclusion. That is the called vada. In Sanskrit, there are four or five different types of such arguments. One is called vitanda. Vitanda means the different people discussing. Each holds on to one's position in an unflinching, unyielding, uncompromising way. And thus what happens there? Only shouting at each other. No conclusion takes place. Then there are such the other arguments where people listen but do not think about the position of others. They come there, everybody speaks, but there is no conclusion formed. So that also is of a different type. Then there are others where the people speak without a proper reference to that situation or the proper topic, and thus that discussion also becomes kind of fruitless. So Lord says, amongst all these conversations, I am the vada that reaches a conclusion that everybody agrees to. So we shall continue the discussion of these verses. Next Friday will be the last class before we close for the summer. So, and then we will again begin. Maybe we will conclude the 10th chapter in the next class. So, we will then begin, by the grace of God, the discussion on Bhagavad Gita again when we reopen in September. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
When we think of something, any process or identity, we think of the name, but animals don't have names. So, and they all think of names. So what do they perceive when they're perceiving a person or a
animal? Well, firstly, how do I know whether animals have names amongst their in their language or not? And they probably have, who knows, you know. We cannot just make this sweeping statement, I suppose, that animals don't have names. Many among human beings also think animals have no brains. But not so true. They have their own style of functioning and sometimes better. Human beings think that we are evolved. That story of the monkeys, a monkey mother was telling the monkey kid, hey, that monkey kid wanted to go and play with the little children playing there. In India that happens a lot, you know, the monkeys also are there in the village, children also are playing. I grew up in that kind of situation. The monkeys were quite all around. So, but then it is said that the monkey mother told the monkey kid, hey, don't go and play amongst this inferior species. They are human beings, pretty inferior to us. Look, they have not even developed a tail till now. So how do you decide who is more developed is a question. So we don't know whether they have names. They should be having idea actually. I cannot vouchsafe for that. Yes, George, you had some question? Well, I don't think Raman Maharshi said like that. What Raman Maharshi? It is the Raman Maharshi said that that it was the practice that Raman Maharshi did, and this idea that who am I? That thought is very helpful even for those who are doing other practices. In fact, getting the concentration on this idea, who am I, the other practices also become very, very helpful. Yeah.
He says that. I mean, he says the other practices are good, but they involve the ego.
Even this thinking that who am I, that involves ego.
Well, I don't know.
It is. Yes, that. But the process goes through ego. Every process has to break this hurdle of ego anyway.
Yeah.
So this applies to that too. Yes. Yes, why not, you know. Even George Parker is also on the same level, you know. George Parker is, while you are thinking and when you get illumined, in a way you are also on the same level. No problem with that. Yeah, that is all that we have to do. That about that only all the scriptures are what we need to do. yes, that is why we have to know that. Yeah.
Well, we do.
Well, that is a feeling. That is not the knowledge. So hold on to that feeling as the rope. And climb on it, and then you know that is a process, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I have no knowledge of. No, not exactly. No. Raman Maharshi was much later. Yeah. Yeah. So let us conclude with the closing prayers and. Oh, there is a question on the web. Okay.
Ramakrishna, for the devotees to something, he was enlightened in yet he did pray for the devotee. Wasn't that like running after that?
That is a very good question, that Ramakrishna cried for the devotees. And does it not, that he, as if he had craving for the devotees, is it not running after the devotees? It is. We have to look at that from the point of view that what is the purpose of the body of Ramakrishna? There is no other purpose there but to illumine these devotees. And for that, the Divine Mother had told him that the devotees will come to you. In his life, we read that at the end of his tremendous spiritual practices, he merged in samadhi. And was in samadhi for almost 6 months. And at the end of that time, Divine Mother appears before him and says, remain in, that is a very beautiful word, remain in bhava mukha. The bhava mukha means a state where on one hand you are aware of the divine, and on the other hand, you are aware of the suffering of the people. It is like standing in between. That state is called the state of bhava mukha. And then he was told that the devotees will come. Now, that yearning to accomplish that command of Divine Mother manifested in him as the yearning for the devotees to come. So, and there is a beautiful description about it, that there was nothing that in any of his actions, there is nothing that meant something for his person. Just like when Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am in all. It is not egoism in the regular sense. It is the I that is all-pervading I. So in Sri Ramakrishna's this idea that let the devotees come to me, there is a very different sense there. It is not a craving for a limited I, like an object of enjoyment. And that is, I feel that I am lacking this and let this come to me for my enjoyment. It is to fulfilling this purpose of having this body. That body is the incarnations of God. Their body is only for the purpose of spreading this message. So the purpose of that body was getting fulfilled through that particular craving. A very good question and really worth pondering over. This is question about Sri Ramakrishna, but this becomes applicable really to all various incarnations of God and also to those who are illumined and are therefore the sources of illumination for others. In their life, therefore, it is very difficult to explain that why this person does something. A very beautiful example, one great such that person who was known as Illumined Soul. He was Shankaracharya of long back, Kanchi Kamkoti Peeth, and has written some nice books. And then a devotee went to see him, and he saw that the Swami was doing worship. And he was perplexed. His idea was, why those who are spiritual seekers will do worship as a matter of spiritual practice? Why should an illumined person should be doing worship? So, instead of asking the question that why are you doing worship, he asked it in a bit different way, in a covered manner, that Do the illumines also require to do worship? Do they need to do worship? And that Swami's answer was really very illuminating, beautiful answer. He did not answer the question, he asked another question. What should he do? Whatever he does, you will have the same question. Suppose even if he goes and plays the cards, for example. Does he require to play cards? He is illumined, why should he require to play cards? The life means doing something for that the understanding of the people who look upon that person is that that person is breathing. Is breathing necessary? Well, those who want to keep the body alive, so breathing is necessary. And why breathing is necessary for Sri Ramakrishna? That breathing has the purpose only of illuminating the people, spreading the illumination. And therefore, just like breathing was necessary for him, coming of devotees also was necessary for him, and that was the craving that he had. And look at the nature of that tremendous craving. It was not humanly explainable. No person ever feels that craving for any beloved person in the world. He described that they couldn't rest, always that thought. The heart was getting wrung as if a wet towel was being twisted. Like that the heart was feeling the tremendous pang. So that is the nature of that craving. Very different from the craving. The words have to be used, similar words like human language has to be used, but the perception, the idea is very different. So it is not to be classed as feeling a sense of lacking or a desire or running after something in the world. No. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarahi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinasrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantraha Tasya Namani Yane Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. Coming Tuesday, friends.